as you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the fifth.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
San Antonio.
Yeah.
And then, what's this weekend?
This weekend's Holloway Edgar, dude.
Of course it is.
Big fight. Big fight.
Oh yeah, Nick sent me a message about doing something on Sunday.
Nick?
Nick Pete.
Oh really?
I'd say maybe just want to see if he wants, just wants to calm down.
What, after the fight?
Yeah. I might just see if him and Adam want to come just down on Sunday open, morning.
All good.
And we'll just set up at the gym and just have a chat. Just put something up. Don't even have to put it up as open, Matt. Just put something up.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Does that sound all right?
Yeah, it sounds nice.
That might be a good idea for Sunday, with it being a big card.
Yeah.
Why can't I find Justin Gaethje?
A what now?
Because.
Okay.
Our favourite fight of the world has been fucking...
Are we recording? Happy days.
Are we already recording?
Hello, everybody. So, welcome to the Full Reptile Radio. We're back.
We're back. It's not so long between now this time, dude.
It's a busy podcast week this week.
Yeah, it has been. I've already listened to the 2 hours of you and Tim.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I need to listen back to that. It was fascinating. He just talks about all kinds of stuff that makes me feel like I want to change everything in my life.
Well, I was saying to Slim.
And start climbing railings on shit.
Yeah, for real. It seems like he's swallowed the theory of everything.
Mm.
Like, I like to think I'm quite a practical person. But at the same time, he knows. It was way more grown up. When you were chatting,
yeah.
There wasn't so much giggling, and it was just
apart
more
from when he's climbing, when he's walking along a railing, having the conversation about life and death.
Yeah,
yeah. One thing did occur to me though when we were standing on that bridge. I left my phone at home. So then, if he'd have had a horrible accident,
yeah,
because that's the way that my brain thinks,
couldn't have filmed it.
You know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Couldn't have filmed it.
£250, dude.
We had the camera there.
Oh yeah, but
I couldn't. There was no. Oh, did you?
Yeah,
see?
Slim was organised.
See, that's it.
He's the grown-up.
Yeah.
How old are you, 14?
This is it.
Was he 20?
26.
26. 26. I was close.
He doesn't look a day over 16. But it was one of them where the parent in me came out. Because you know when he was jumping from one railing to another?
Yeah.
The one that was a bit shaky, I was thinking, not only was I thinking, oh, fuck, that could break and that'd be bad. But I was also thinking, if I was walking the dog down here and some farmer's railings. I'd be like, come on, man, that's not yours.
Mm.
But at the same time, I was mad impressed with what he was doing. And I like climbing and stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
But it was, the adult does come out of you. I mean, I always carry plasters in my wallet constantly. I've always got plasters in there because I have
Band-Aids.
Children. Yeah, Band-Aids.
Worldwide.
But the amount of people, like, even with kids, one of the kids are caught to me, tell me what's happened and what they've broken this time. So I just like, right, we'll get a plaster because they're normally bleeding. And then like other parents go, where'd you get that plaster from? I'm like, in my wallet, you fucking dickhead. It's not like I'm carrying a whole St. John's ambulance kit with me. It's a plaster. But then you start realising you're old. And it's like when we're on the plane with these two.
You were feeding the raptors.
Like Stace had sent me away with all my crisps and peanuts and all my different shit. And then next minute, one's got a headache. He's like, here you go, tablets. Then it's like, do you want some crisps? Because I don't want to eat alone. And it's like, oh yeah, I don't mind. What have you got in your bag? It's like cables.
Yeah.
Cables and maybe a camera. Oh, there you go.
Cranky Raptors on a plane.
Mate.
That's
film.
That's episode... That's the second version of... what's it called? Snakes on a Plane. We'll see if Samuel L. Jackson will be into it.
Motherfucking Cranky Raptors on a motherfucking plane.
Raptors on a plane.
Dude.
There's something... That's got legs.
Yeah.
Oh, do you like my t-shirt? I'm wearing the Ultimate Raptor t-shirt. Prototype. Am I going to fuck the zoom up if I get close to the camera here?
Yeah.
Do you want me to take a picture? Yo.
You know you want one of those.
See, they're coming soon. A few people have asked about merch.
No, all good. It's all good. All
But I can put Ollie on blast now, because Ollie was the one that said, people are asking about merch. And I was like, okay, we'll talk about merch a bit more. And then he was on last week and didn't mention merch.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, that's why we had you on, Ollie. So
yeah, we only had him there just to promote the socks that he was wearing that he didn't mention.
Yeah. And mate, we've got some more. We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Full Reptile Collective. Go and check out the website, because they were moaning at us that we don't talk about it enough. We just wear it all the time.
Yeah, and it's normally custom shit that you can't buy, but it does get you there in the first place, and you can buy some of the normal stuff. Yeah. So, like, if you want the OG custom limited edition special box set, let me know and I'll just make
it. You have to be nice to us. Shout out to our friend who found the stickers in Wahoos.
Dude.
That was quick.
Let me.
I was expecting like a few weeks to pass and then it was just going to show up on my Instagram.
Let me actually give him a shout out.
Like, he must have got on a plane to Vegas after he heard the podcast.
I think he lives there.
Oh.
So that counts half, and he's a massive MMA fan.
Right.
They've got their own podcast and it is called Thanks for the Invite. I've not listened to it yet, but I will. Thank you for doing that, dude. Apparently, he has someone doing that to him as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What, moving the mic around all the time?
So he does this podcast, which is an MMA one, and literally, I'm chilling outside last night because we took the kids for a bike ride, got home, got a message, and there's a picture of him, Ian Burford, big smile on his face, right next to one of only 10 stickers.
Yeah, that one being
ever made.
Yeah.
And so he found it. I was like, motherfucker. I was really pleased, but at the same time, kind of sad that I wasn't there.
I know. But what time was it in the morning he was there?
8 a.m.
There's no reason to be at Wahoo's at 8 a.m. in the morning.
No, you're hitting fish tacos up at 8 a.m. Yeah, unless it's from the night before and you still haven't been to bed, which wearing the vest he's wearing, I think that's
pretty much what happened. He looked too fresh-faced to have been at Wahoo's all night.
I don't know. Whippersnapper. We're old, dude.
We are old, aren't we?
Yeah.
Although I feel younger because I shaved my head yesterday. So once I've shaved my head and I take all the grey out the sides, it doesn't glint quite as much and I don't look quite as much like
I'm getting
like
a bounce
Gandalf.
Off that one, which is very salt and pepper. Yeah.
Thanks.
I don't want it. But if I take mine off, it's even worse.
Well, yeah, no, please don't.
Dude.
I'm getting the John Anik. That's what's going on here. He rocks it perfectly. I think
Paulie from Sopranos is a bit better. With the whole
I never watched Sopranos.
What we're going to say about
is that? I was wondering how long that pause was.
I'm going to have to leave.
I've never watched Sopranos.
It's good, man. You like it?
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, and it's ageless. Because
the thing
is,
everyone complained about the last episode, so now I would start from the start and be like, "Yeah, but I know this is going to end really annoyingly."
Yeah,
and one's going to want to listen to me complain because they've already all watched it
25 years ago. Fucking! Yeah. I tell you what, Tony Soprano. See?
Can you believe Darth was his father,
mate?
Spoiler I didn't see
alert.
That coming.
Spoiler alert. Jesus. Yeah,
I know. Fair, I'm a little bit behind, but Fight Pass has just got so much on it. Why would I look anywhere else?
I find myself watching more and more content.
Yeah, although we were talking about Only Fools and Horses earlier. I think I might have to have a return visit to that.
I want
to
know everyone's favourite episode.
Because
I was saying, back in the old VHS days, when you got a blank cassette off your mum for Christmas that literally just said Owen's tape or whatever, your sister or whoever's tape, like, do not fucking record over. Because obviously we've lost wedding videos and christenings and all sorts of shit because we wanted to record fucking, I don't know, Mask or
National Lampoon, something.
Police Academy 3.
Of course.
That's it. So we had this tape and on the tape was like Overboard, but the first 10 minutes missing. Because my mum always missed the first 10 minutes, especially with something like Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing you think's real and then it's like, it's dreaming. But like we had Overboard and then Only Fools and Horses, Miami Twice. Which I feel is one of the best episodes ever.
Mm.
And then a couple of episodes of some bullshit cartoon. But you would literally sit and watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially school holidays. Once Why Don't You's finished and fucking reruns of Biker Grove, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's watch some videos and eat some crisps.
That's it. That's crisp sandwiches.
Mate.
Yeah. Cheese and onion crisp sandwiches. White bread buttered.
With real butter.
Proper butter.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. They were the days.
That's making me hungry.
Like they were the sick days as well, from home as well. I didn't have many. I wasn't a sickly kid.
Is that what you missed though? If you could have,
I don't think I missed them. I felt like shit, but you know,
yeah,
I mean,
every bite was just
like
blah.
Goonies to Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah.
To Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, you had a long play tape. Mm. We didn't have long play. No. We only had short play.
Were you poor?
Stuck to 3 hours. We were very, very poor. We had Betamax, dude.
Is that right?
No shit.
Dude, we had a Betamax downstairs and then that moved upstairs into my bedroom.
Mate.
And I did get a VHS and I was talking about this with Tim yesterday. I had a VHS tape player in my bedroom with one of the little TVs on it, you know, with the weird curve in the screen.
Yeah,
that now
CRT.
Seems to make no sense
at
all.
With the static, you're just like, it's like, Mom, look, and the whole house.
And a fucking coat hanger on the back of it,
yeah,
twisted up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black and white with a dial in. We had that.
Yeah. Well, see, I wasn't interested in TV. Occasionally, I watched The Fast Show on like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Red Dwarf and Fast Show or something like that. Yeah. But generally, the TV was for the tape player, and the tape player always had Enter the Dragon in it.
Man.
So, like, every morning, I was getting ready for school.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah. The best. I've still got a still. I've got to bring it here, actually, because it'll probably survive longer. I've got an Enter the Dragon still that Stace bought me.
What?
In like 1999 or so. I knew she was a keeper.
How did you find out about this?
It's fucking amazing. It was basically a box set that had a video in it, and he had the nunchucks on rather than the staff because obviously it was banned. And then it had a load of stills, and then it had like an actual film cell.
Nice.
Which, like I say, will live here better than in my loft at the minute. But like with videos, because obviously with you having long play and us having Betamax, it was one of them that when you got to a certain age as a lad, obviously tapes would circulate school and it was important then to have a VHS player. But what you don't think about at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to have a sneaky watch of Up and Comers 6 or whatever you're watching.
Up and Comers 6.
You know when a video player goes into hyper fast forward or rewind and like your mum's clued up because you don't normally shut your bedroom door. And you get back in from work or whatever you're doing, you're like, da-da-da, just going to put the telly on. And next minute she is... It's like, and to stop a video, you never press stop. You just, you just press play and you like go, conk, conk, conk.
Yeah.
That was really off-putting. But I think the worst thing for me was, I always grew up with a cover your back mentality. Because of hustling, I would always have a good fucking plan, a solid plan the whole time. So like, if I had any videos or magazines or whatever, if I'm calling out a load of 13-year-old lads now that aren't using the internet for what archaic reasons, you'd take the bottom drawer out of your bedside, hipsters.
I wonder if hipsters have gone back to VHS.
I'm into paper porn.
All
right, boys. Yeah. Find it down in like some vintage fucking hedgerow. So I would take the bottom drawer out of my bedside table, put everything on the floor, and put my my drawer back in.
That's where I used to keep my Judge Dredd comics.
Yeah, so it's all hidden. Yeah.
Not quite as cool.
No, but you know.
Although maybe. It depends what kind of porn you're watching.
Yeah, depends, man.
Bitch has gone mental 17 or something. I'm not
sure. If it had like tentacles in it, then yeah, that was under the other one. But I'll never forget when I was with Stace, so I was about 19. So my little brother would have been, say, 11.
Do you want to say this? Are you
sure? Yeah, completely, mate. This is the VHS issue. The problem is, right, this is the brother who got sent back from camp because he got his whole class into trouble for smuggling porn into the camp that they were at.
Right. And the whole class was in on it.
Yeah. So I was still working at Thornton's, and I used to get home about 11:30. And I can remember walking in, and there was a magazine on the side at the bottom end at my mum's house. And I looked over and I was like, oh, that's Andrea Humps in the Hay. That's Razzle. It's one of my favourites. And I was like, oh, man. And she went, recognise it? And I was like, nah. So you don't want it then? I was like, how do you tell your mum you want some like jazz mag? I really don't want it, mum. So she made sure, she put it in the bin, tipped a load of beans and egg, all sorts of shit over it from the day where she'd been stewing in her porn rage. And it was at that point she told me, because then my brother came downstairs, got the look off my mum as if to say, you shouldn't be down here, to which he completely read and went straight back upstairs really fast. And I was like, what's he doing home? She went, well, let me tell you. And basically got sent home like 2 days early for taking a stash of my porn with him. He was a legend for the rest of his life, but like his school life, he was porn king. But the same brother.
Prawn king.
More size of a prawn. I once went back to my mum's house and I knew that he was like a bit savage with all this stuff now, but like he was just not playing by the rules. And we were sat in his bedroom and I flipped up the flap of the video recorder and I could see exactly what it said. And I was like, oh, just press play. And he's like, nah. And obviously his sister-in-law, my wife, that he's known since he was like fucking 3, is sat there. And he's looking at her and she's like, press play, Will. Why won't you press play? He's like, press play, and the fucking dirtiest scene ever came on. I was like, bro, cover your back, man. Press eject. Put it under your fucking mattress. My mum's going to see that. And I got really, like, it just frustrates me. I don't think a younger generation gets that covering your back ever.
Right.
But I was their older brother. So I don't know how it works with you and Gemma. And if you're like, never, you're hiding porn from her. No. Judge Dredd comics. But yeah, no. VHSs, eh? Fuck them.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun tangent.
There you go, yeah.
What else do you want to confess to while we're here? I mean... Oh, I don't. In fact, I don't even think I'm
with that same brother and porn. There's far too many things. So yeah, don't worry.
So what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the fights that have just happened,
dude? Well, I managed to catch them, which was unusual for me, which was fucking brilliant because I went to bed late on Saturday after watching a shit film. But I was I felt a bit sad for a couple of them, like James Vick.
You know, there was a record for 9 consecutive decisions in Hamburg on one of the events that I watched. And this event, I think, did that.
It was the same 9, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
a bit slow going. Because the thing is, the thing that what people don't realise is that, like, the events are planned out to such a tight schedule.
Yeah.
And they're usually over. So, like, if all of the fights go to a decision, usually there's, like,
you don't
there's,
get much
there's time
here.
Over. Nah. So you have to start cutting stuff out. And that's a stressful circumstance because you never expect them all to... Some good fights, though.
Do you reckon Dominic Cruz gave him the pep talk? First 9 fights?
Yeah, you reckon?
Just went just, in just there. Just slow it down. Just them out. And they were like, okay.
Yeah. I was honestly surprised that some of them went to the distance. Because, I mean, especially Orlovsky.
Mate.
Wad's calling me. Not right now, Wad.
Wadley dog. The thing is, Orlovsky looked like old Orlovsky until it got halfway through the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like really old Orlovsky, as in age, not fucking vintage. Like, the fact that he was going out there, I mean, he's actually apologised for one of the comments he made because people keep questioning his chin.
Mm.
But if you go back, he was in UFC 70, which was in Manchester, and he fought on the prelims because he hadn't got a contract. Like, he hadn't re-agreed his contract. And he fought Verdum on the prelims and won, like, a weird decision. Now, if you think about where Verdum went after that and what Orlovsky's previously achieved, for him then to stay in for another 10 years...
Dude, his record's ridiculous.
Insane. Well, look at Ben Rothwell. Because, I mean, he went, obviously... Fedor did that weird, like, dragon punch, Mickey off a snatch, when he threw a flying knee in Affliction.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the start. Was it Brett Rogers then that just flattened him? Brett, it was...
I'm just looking through his record now. I mean, like, made his pro debut in 1999. I don't know his first 2 opponents, but then after that, I know, well,
was
I think
it
all
Sylvia,
of them.
Tim Sylvia, Justin Elias.
I mean, his next, I don't know John Dixon. Roman Zentsov.
Yeah.
He fought in M1 in 2000, April of 2000. That was 2 fights in the same night. He won them both in the first round. Less than 3 minutes total. And like 19 years later, he's like top 10 in the UFC.
Mate,
top 10,
it's scary.
Top 15. But I mean, like, you go through his record at like Aaron Brink, Rico Rodriguez, Pedro Hizo, Ian Freeman, Matt Yushchenko, Kohea, Cabbage, Tim Sylvia, Ilers Buentello, Tim Sylvia twice more.
But them two
Cruz.
Tim Sylvia ones were weird ones, weren't
they?
They started out that. The first one was mad quick and he managed, did he knee bar him?
Do you remember his Paul Buentello knockout? 15
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, just fell on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was that Justin Elliott?
The whole arena, no, that was Buentello. Yeah, he did it to Islas as well, but Islas did a little dance and then he fell. But
yeah, Buentello, when he sort of, he went in and like almost had his fist here and chinned him, but then Buentello just fell on him. He was almost like,
Big John.
Yeah, and nobody in the arena knew what had happened. It was just like, it was like Paul Buentello all of a sudden experienced a bout of narcolepsy. Right as they both stepped in,
it was just like
asleep on his back.
Yeah. Then really the narcolepsy awkward. That's triggered by a threat of punches. Not laughing or anything, just like...
Yeah.
Mate, impressive. I mean, just to see the shots he took and what he was laying out, because Ben Rothwell's dangerous.
Yeah,
like, I'm glad we didn't see Ben's weird laugh.
He's so awkward, isn't he, as well?
You know, his character's... And someone went up to him afterwards and was like, oh, that was really funny when you did that cringe laugh. And he was like... Oh no, that was a character.
That was my real laugh.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do.
Mystery says it is his real laugh, isn't it? To the people that are fucking with you on there.
Are you not allowed to laugh anymore? Yeah.
I think it's funny. I think everyone needs to have a little characteristic they embrace.
Of course.
And that's what we embrace about Mystery. We can hear him anywhere in a casino.
Dude.
No matter how big the casino is, it's like, there he is.
Where is
there he is.
Is he on roulette?
The buffet. He's over near the buffet.
My friends say it sounds like Salacious Crumb.
That's good. That's good. If you can be like name check from Star Wars.
Yeah, right.
All day.
Doesn't really matter what it is.
Man.
What else about the fights impressed you?
Okay.
Tell me about what you enjoyed. There were a lot of decisions.
I really enjoyed seeing Orlovsky coming back and just having a word. It was just nice seeing him getting in there. And just, it's the Mike Brown effect.
Mm.
I mean...
Coach of the year, gym of the year.
We've said it a million times, and it's all down to the whole Faber thing and the WEC thing, that Mike Brown came from unknown, beat Faber twice. Yeah, obviously, Jose had a word, but Jose was on his absolute tear. But to see what he's done now, I mean, with everyone. He just seems to have that touch because he's invested and he's done it himself. So to know that Orlovsky's there, because I know there's a lot of stuff in the paper, well, in the papers, about Jackson Wink and all the rest of it at the minute, and people are slowly dropping out.
Mm.
But when you look at what Jackson Wink was and now what ATT is,
yeah,
it's a different beast.
The thing is, though, I think it's worth bearing in mind the size of these gyms in comparison. I mean, I've never been to Jackson Wink, but from what I've seen in comparison to the size of American Top Team, like, I understand why people are kind of getting under each other's feet at Jackson Wink and they're not at ATT. I mean, you like, there are so many different training spaces and areas.
Yeah. Well, they just seem to reinvest in themselves immediately. Mm. Like, with the whole Black Zillions thing, I mean, ATT's been around forever.
Forever.
So it'd be interesting to see the old camp and the old place compared to what they've moved into now.
Yeah. Oh, we drove past it. It's not even half the size. No. Not even.
But you hear stories of all these old fighters talking about just being sheetrock and just... like slamming into each other, and to see them reinvest.
Those old days there.
Insane.
The gym's changed a lot, and I think that we're seeing the benefits in the fighters' performances because they're not banging heads all the time.
No.
Like back ATT in 2004 when I was there, like they used to do Tuesday and Thursday morning sessions called Block KO, and like they were just, they were savage sessions. They were using the Bruce Lee Bong Sao gloves.
Of course they were.
With the open palm. So they could grapple those headgear sometimes, shin guards, elbow pads, knee pads, and it was just full on.
I've only ever seen head guards being thrown off when someone's sparring.
Fucking so annoying. The amount of
time. Yeah, I see so many people annoying. Like, even after Christmas was a big thing because all the fighters had come back into fourth and they've all been spoiled by the missus or whoever. And they've all got these brand new shiny gloves, shins, and like a head guard.
Yeah.
And it's on for seconds and then someone catches them with something like,
yeah, it spins around and one of your eyes is covered and you're like, fucking...
Yeah. 1 minute.
Yeah.
Like some He-Man
finger.
You
can't get to the laces because you've got big gloves on and they're already laced up and you're like...
Yeah.
It's like being caught in a straight jacket. Yeah. Especially because they're still coming at you throwing punches.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
There are always those guys in the gym.
Well, that's it. I will not stop until the ref tells me. There is no ref, it's training.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck it.
Then the bell.
Yeah, that's it. But it seemed... Well... They used to spar a lot harder. I mean, Robbie Lawler's... How long's Robbie Lawler been
at? Yeah, like Robbie Lawler was sparring hard at Miletic as well. I remember an old video. It's one of my favourite like old UFC promotional videos of Robbie Lawler in his garage just whacking a heavy bag.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that thinking to myself, that's why he punches so hard.
Mm.
Because he spends a good hour of every day just taking his rage out on that bag. And like the power that he was able to generate just because he drilled that movement over and over again, ridiculous. Built all the muscles to do it. And with the intention that he used to throw his punches, well, he still throws his punches with. But then, like the old Miletic camp back in the day,
well, you look
like,
at
they were
who they
notorious
had.
For fucking each other up in the gym.
Yeah, but they made all the champions. All the champions. Matt Hughes, Jens Pulver, Tim Sylvia, Pat Miletic.
Yeah.
Was he the only person to get choked out by a bulldog choke?
I know, there has been another one now.
Since,
I think
but it was
Carlos
Newton,
one,
right?
Yeah, he was the first
Carlos
one.
Carlos Newton was like a medical experiment.
Awesome. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Did you hear about his tap out shorts? They had to buy him back. He had like the original pair of tap out.
Really?
Before it was wank. And he had a pair of just like Valetudo shorts with tap out on. And they
I've got a pair of those somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they said to him, oh, just can we have them back? He was like, no fucking
no.
way. Like, literally.
Yeah, they were iconic, those old days. Yeah.
And just OG. When's tap out going to be cool again?
I don't know.
It happens, man. Look at things like
LS
and
that
Pod.
Back around.
And, you know, shit coming back round.
Yeah, like, I don't see that coming back around, though.
I don't see Affliction or something like that coming back around.
Hell no.
I don't see that coming
those
back
around. Those t-shirts disintegrated after 5 years.
Mate.
It was that flimsy shit. With
It was really all chewed up, but it was the best one. Sort of Dana was wearing them. Matt Serra was wearing the biker jacket. Everyone was in it. And then all of a sudden they became in, like, it was in, like...
People couldn't take them off quick enough.
No, it's in competition. And then they made them two events.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh Barnett.
Yeah.
He managed to kill Affliction for us. I think tap out one day. I think like just some original... Yeah, man. I definitely think there'll be some vintage shit that people will wear.
Yeah.
There was that dude...
Maybe we should parody it with Raptor.
Just... Yeah, we could do that. I can arc that out.
Wrapped out?
And just missed his laugh across the back. Like the Joker comic.
Yeah. I've got a pair of Converse, the Joker Converse, with laughing all the way down the side.
We can put Lake Sperm
brand
on
new. I still need to break them out.
Chuck it on there. It's good.
He's laughing quietly now, intentionally.
Yeah, that's to say, I feel like I'm way off point this week.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the fun fast fights. Dan Hooker.
Dude.
How good did he look?
He did, but I thought Vic looked scared.
Yeah, but he's been bingoed now, hasn't he? I mean, that's...
Yeah, but his whole thing was like, he was pretty much unbeaten. I mean, yeah, Felder decisioned him, which was impressive. Because didn't Felder do that with one lung?
Yeah.
Just in Gaethje, he murdered him. But before Felder. That, it was Francisco Trinaldo.
Did I send you that video that Paul Felder texted me the other week?
No.
I'm going to have to send it you.
Okay, send me that.
It's a video about George Washington. And it's like an animated... Yeah. It's hilarious.
Him telling George me was even as funny.
It is it's hilarious. I'd still need to send it you.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's my the real Brad Neely? They've got 100-something subscribers.
Nice one.
Good. The real, but it's just ridiculous. It's like animated like that. I'm not going to play it.
No.
Because I want people to go and check it out and listen to it because it is hilarious. You need to have the video with it.
I do like them pencil drawings.
It is funny.
Yeah. So Dan Hooker looked amazing.
He did look amazing.
And I mean, to come back from Barboza, I think if he'd have come back to a fully focused Vic, it'd have been a lot different. It'd been a longer fight for sure. Because there was a few times where Vic caught him, but there was a lot of times where Vic was moving back, just not defending in any way, just sort of...
He has so many bad habits as well, Vic does. And especially now they've been caught out a couple of times. I mean, he's got to address them. I still think he's worth him thinking about going up a weight class.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Dan Hooker looked big as well, but like you look at the size. He's 6'3" with a 76-inch reach. Now, I'm a welterweight with... I'm 6 foot and I've got a 75-inch reach. So he's got a longer reach and he's taller than me.
Yeah.
He's got the frame to go up a weight class. And I just think sometimes... It just changes the way that people fight.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about it on the War Room with RDA. Like, his style didn't change from lightweight to welterweight, and it was less effective at welterweight because he wasn't as big and strong. No. Whereas, like, Vic's style, I feel like it might transfer quite well to welterweight because he's not a bullying kind of fighter.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at moving and counter-punching and using his reach. And, you know, if you touch him, he'll tangle you up.
Do you think he looked different?
I just didn't think he looked himself. I think he's... I mean, he's 32. There's going to come a point where he's going to struggle to make... I mean, he was a welterweight up until 2011. I think maybe it's time to return.
Yeah, but he was something like... Was
fight RDA. There we go.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Move up to welterweight and fight RDA.
Yeah, and that'd give RDA the fight where he's standing up because RDA's been nullified a couple of times now.
Because where is he in the rankings?
I'm not sure. But he was like 10-1.
15. He's at 15.
Yeah, I think Gaethje just changed him, man. I think Gaethje took his soul a little bit.
Stole it.
Yeah, for real. Which was disappointing. But...
He can still get back on. And I'm not against a weight class change. I think that might be healthy for him. Still want the 162 weight class. I still think there's a lot of guys that are caught right in between. Like Dan Hooker as well. I was surprised how big he looked in the fight. What's he? He's 6'7". So he's the same height and reach as me.
Yeah.
But skinnier.
Just a bit more shredded.
Yeah.
A little bit more tuned.
A bit more disciplined with his diet, perhaps.
There you go.
I could probably be that weight class now.
But I did enjoy it. I'm looking forward to see Dan Hooker again. I'm looking forward to see Vic again, but it just felt like it was a completely different Vic to normal. Yeah.
And the thing is, he's on 3 losses now. You can kind of reinvigorate your career with a moving weight class.
Yeah. Well, that's almost the only thing to keep him interested, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, his 3 losses are pretty close together. It's not like he's gone.
Well, they're all back. I mean, they're back to back.
No, like... but I mean, within a similar, like a short time frame.
Oh, I see.
Like the Gaethje.
But then, like, sometimes, though, people get into this trap where they've lost a fight and they're like, I've got to get back in. Yeah. I've got to, you know, and sometimes the best thing, like I lost 4 in a row and then I was like, right, I've got to stop now and stop trying to push through this shitty patch. Yeah. Stop, readdress it, change a few things and then go back.
Nothing's going to change unless you change something. Yeah. What did you think? There's a lot of noise being made about Dan Mergliotta's reaction to Greg Hardy. Have you seen it on social?
No.
So someone's cut the video so that basically... Dan Mergliotta is hot.
Got it.
We're good?
We're good.
Okay.
Sorry, everybody.
Just audio listeners, that was Dan dropping a full reptile Nalgene bottle, which is available online at www.fullreptilecollective.co.uk.
Didn't break. No. Solid.
And BPA-free. And it... Take a little jinx.
There we go.
But if you do want one, and you've heard it on this podcast... Send me a fun fact and I'll add some Nalgene stickers because you don't get them as standard.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
You're too kind. What were you saying before that?
So, someone's cut the video of Dan Mergliotta standing with Greg Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, as he lifts his hand, it's very brief. And then Greg Hardy pops into like a Fortnite dance, just like a little rock and sock 'em.
Right.
And then Dan Mergliotta...
What's a Fortnite dance? Do you know what this is?
Yeah, there's many different dances.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't do any of
it. I don't believe
it. Okay. So like the floss and all the different bits are. But I'd like to, I could do them all, but not in these shoes. So, if, I am barefoot, yeah. I can see it in the mirror. So, they've edited it, but just with the, a complete angle of like, oh, Dan Mergliotta was a motherfucker. Look how he like, even Dan can't stand...
Greg,
because of what he's done. And I was like, huh? And it was completely out of context. Really? Like, we watched the whole thing back, and it was one of them where they were sort of laughing and smiling. And I don't think it makes a massive difference if Dan has got a big thing against him, obviously in the fight. But like after the fact, it was almost like I was trying to explain it to Mystery of like generational things. So like if we all went bowling together and I get a strike, my celebration or reaction is going to be slightly different to like if you were into Fortnite or something like that. Yeah, I know you are. So like if you started flossing... No, but if you started flossing after you got a strike, I'd be like, I might just go, fucking hell, what are you doing? And it's one of them shakes. And I felt that's all that Dan Mergliotta did.
Right.
But it was very easy for someone to sort of completely change it to a different narrative.
Yeah.
Because it's Greg.
Yeah. That's the thing. If people have kind of got it. I think he conducts himself really well. In his post-fight interview especially. And I think, I mean, it just shows you how powerful he is.
For real.
I said this to Tim yesterday. Like when you walk into ATT, he's the first person you see if he's out. If he's on the mat, he's the first person you see because he's just fucking
huge.
Well,
when you were sat on that interview and it just looked like...
I looked like a hobbit.
Like a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like he'd sort of powered up and you'd gone to some like alternate universe with fucking like Star-Lord or someone and you just sat there talking to this fucking brick wall.
It was like a behind-the-scenes Lord of the Rings.
For real, yeah, yeah.
And it was like one of his fingers.
Mystery dick.
Could have used it.
What are you doing? I don't want to get pregnant. I don't like it.
Yeah, he's a huge human being, but he's like he is very like calm and soft spoken and humble. And
I don't think his adrenaline character, if I can call it that, because
mine was a dick. I mean, how old is he? He's young, isn't he? He's 26.
30. Oh, he's 30.
There you go.
You look 26, dude. That's nice. I don't know if it's a mixture of his tattoos and his unfinished tattoos. And he's like, he's sort of this an immediate adrenaline character of licking his gloves, which is very like going back to BJ Penn.
Yeah, we were chatting about BJ earlier.
Yeah. So I can see what he's doing, but it's not a prolonged character and it's not something that he owns all the time. So in an interview, he's not like, the fucking baby war master, or what the fuck his name is he? And like, just gives it some whole character spiel. He seems like a really nice guy. Uh-huh. Like, I appreciate what he's gone through in the past, and to see it as a sport and a personal life, to take that away. When you met him, it's almost back down to the Michael Chiesa interview.
Yeah.
The amount of people that went, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a really nice guy. It's like, yeah, and I'm not saying that.
The assumption is always that everyone's a dick.
Yes. Yeah. But I think. Yeah, exactly.
He's
just not a dick. Yeah. Fuck, I know.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes as well, there's a severity in something or something you're not involved in. Like, I know a load of people, male and female, that have like called someone else out for something else. And like, your opinion immediately will change about something. But there's always two sides. So when you just see him as this sportsman or this personality that's essentially left a certain career, completely cut everything off and is now living in dorms, trying to learn, I think the humble side of his character is fascinating. And I don't think we're seeing the best of him yet, because he's almost trying to justify that illegal knee and everything else has happened. Because instead of him coming in going, nah, this is me, and like fighting a fair fight, he said himself, he got gassed. Obviously the illegal knee came. So then it sort of never got any better. And now he's still justifying that whole heel situation. And Juan Adams just lost his shit.
Yeah. But he's what? I mean, how far into his career is he?
Who won?
No, Greg? 6 fights into his career. Like, I was fighting in front of 300 people when I was having 6 fights.
Yeah. Now,
there's a lot more eyes on him and he's still growing in his career. He's still 30. He's still growing as a human as well.
But he's carrying all that baggage, which is a big difference.
It's following him around, isn't it? Yeah.
And
to be honest, is probably making him act better he's being more humble and more apologetic and more forgiving of his opponents when they're...
Whereas if he hadn't been caught out before, then he might have been a bit more Brock. But I think he's dividing people. I mean, like we were saying about Juan Adams, we watched the fight again just while we were waiting for you earlier. And Mystery said, he was dead clear, he didn't jump up like Robbie. You know when Robbie fought Masvidal?
No. And even when he did get up, he was still...
Yeah, he was like, put me against the cage and I'll be fuming. It's like, why do you need the cage? No reason.
He was like holding Ref's leg for a second at least.
Yeah. And then he was standing looking like a drunk guy in a bar.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right. Give me my keys.
Yeah. I've not been drinking an inch.
Well, fine.
I'm all right. Yeah. I saw that was worrying more than anything because I just thought to myself, I want to see Greg tested. And not in a horrible way. I just like seeing good fights.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's just fucking massive.
He's like, had six fights. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you kind of got to keep giving him guys that are around the same level. I mean, everyone wants to see him fight the other heavyweights that we know, but...
What about Orlovsky?
No, Orlovsky, I reckon, is too experienced at this point. You'd need to, I mean, even...
But is that not the test for Greg? Like, is that not something that gives him way more than anything else?
I don't know if he's ready for top 15 yet.
Okay.
Although I don't know that number. Who the hell are you giving it? I mean, there are a couple of fights in there. Like, I mean, Walt Harris is just inside the top 15. But I even think at this stage, Walt Harris is too experienced for him.
Yeah.
Just at this point, he needs some more, you know, under 10 fights, under 12 fights kind of opponents.
Which is what you'd normally do on the local circuit, right?
Yeah,
that's what you'd normally do. But we've just got him thrust into the spotlight.
Well, Dana was aware of that on the Tuesday Night Contender Series because he said, you know, he said he wants to keep him back, didn't he, for another fight?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't, you know, he didn't want to accelerate him too much. But then if you're Greg Hardy, it's like if you see CM Punk, you can't start on a smaller show.
Yeah, you're not going to go prelims.
No. It's a unique situation that he's in.
Well, it's almost unfortunate that he's got such power because he's not getting a lot out of his actual fights.
Yeah. See, Walt Harris has got 21 fights. In comparison to six, that's still a lot. I would still want someone that's got, you know, maybe half that.
Walt Harris looked good. Especially when he came out afterwards and said, we know he dips his head.
Yeah.
And the thing was, it wasn't even the knee that caught him. It was that left.
Yeah. And like a rocket, wasn't it? And he knew it was there as well. He'd like tested for it a couple of times.
He looked dead.
I'll say a couple of times. It was 12 seconds long. So
yeah,
he didn't
test
much, did he? But he did look for it one time. I remember him dipping his head and just kind of measuring it.
Mate, it was, impressive. Massively impressive. Isn't Especially it? What Olenek's achieved over the past few fights, just with the threat and the fear of rolling someone up and breaking the neck.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what were you saying about Leon and Rafael?
I thought he looked great. I'm just disappointed he didn't get a finish.
I wasn't even disappointed they didn't get a finish because for me, forget RDA version one.
Mm.
Forget that one. When RDA came back and sort of Pettis out, finished Cowboy, was it a round?
Yeah. Was it a start with a body
kidney?
Kick,
yeah, kidney
it?
Shot. Mm. Finished Cowboy, even against...
But his style just not transferred to welterweight.
Not at all.
You can't walk someone down like Leon Edwards. Edwards did a great job of measuring distance. I thought he stood still against the fence too much was one of the things that... Because I don't know whether that was something that had a plan to it.
There was a few times where he sent flat foot, stopped. But
I don't know whether that was because his legs were beat up. Because there was one time he was dropped with a low kick, which surprised me.
But look at what RDA did to Robbie.
Mm.
Look at what he did to Robbie.
Yeah.
And even in the later rounds of Covington, there was a point in the Covington that I thought Covington exhausted himself and RDA was like, I got my old man experience.
You can't discount the opponent. There's no way. I don't know. You just watch someone. It's like, and I hate to use him as an example in this, but I'm going to anyway. Andre Winner.
Okay.
We both know that Andre Winner is capable of being top 10, top 15 in the world right now.
Yeah.
Like if he was in the right place and applying himself, he's one of those guys. He's got that potential. In his career, when he was on point and when we were training together regularly and stuff, and he was a part of the momentum of Roughhouse back in
Completely.
The day. So when we were all on the same card, like he was a part of that energy and it did carry him along a little bit. And like he fed off our energy and he was on at training because he knew we were going to be there and we expected to see him. But when it came to actually fighting on the night, oftentimes he would fight to the level of his opponent and then just a bit better to beat them.
Yeah.
When in actuality, we're like, if we brought this guy into the gym,
dude,
you'd blast him out the water in a round. There's no doubt about it. And watching Leon, and I'm not saying he could have done that to RDA necessarily, but there were times like third round onwards where I'm starting to think RDA is now starting to get really predictable.
Yeah.
And all it would have taken from Leon, I feel, was a commitment and a risk take that he didn't take. stepping into range a little bit, trusting his guard, trusting his reactions, and landing some hard elbows.
His jab was lightning, and any time they were clinched, he was just throwing that short elbow. Yeah. It was perfect. And the mess of RDA's face at one point, I mean, I think sometimes if your opponent gets asked if they want to continue because you've mashed them up to that point, there's an extra bonus in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only for the opponent, but for also the guy that says, yeah, I'll carry on, because no one ever wants to stop a fight that way, but it shows true determination. But for me, it was like, he's fucking beating everyone. Like, to beat Gunner, to beat all Cowboy, Gunner, and RDA, like, he's ripping scalps off other people, but it's at the end.
Yeah, you're looking at five rounds, 4:59 against Peter Sabata, which was a finish.
Yeah, but it's then, last second.
Yeah, and when you get to the top of this division, when you get to the top of any division, especially one that's deep like welterweight, you need to do something to set yourself aside.
Yeah,
and like Masvidal set the bar high with that flying knee.
Yeah,
like if Masvidal had got drowned for two rounds and then got a finish in the third round.
It's almost like Top Trumps.
Nah, even so, that would have still been better.
It's like Top Trumps. You've got someone like Masvidal that's just exploded all the stats because he's just come out and used the least amount of energy, the strongest shot, the fucking quickest knockout, all this other shit. And then Leon's just a solid go-to.
Fundamentally,
he's like a top
covered everywhere.
He's like he's a two or three on your Top Trumps, but there's a certain area like finishes. None. You lose that card. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, and I'm not saying he's bad in any way, because every time I see it, I just want so much more for him, because he's almost, we were talking again earlier, like a Bisping character.
Mm-hmm.
Bisping, you look at who he's fought in the past, like your Dan Millers, or just anyone. That Bisping was never fighting like just the top guys. There's a lot of times that he was propping up other cards, or if they were top guys, they were top guys of their time. Mm-hmm. And he almost kept getting to the show, but then losing like real close to old champions like Vanderlei or Rashad, or was it Rich Franklin? That was fucking close, man. But yeah,
I don't remember.
It was close. But he lost to justify that, which I think built a bit of character for his story in Bisping's side. Mm. Whereas Leon just keeps winning and like hasn't... Are you all right? Yeah. Did you have a big cough?
Yeah.
So Leon's story hasn't had that sort of stop yet for him to go, oh, well, now watch me. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But
His last setback was against Kamaru Usman, and
he took him a full decision.
And it was a long time ago, so it's out of people's consciousness a bit, because he doesn't talk himself up.
That's all I need.
Yeah. I'm not even bothered about that. Like, finishes at this stage in his career are, like, almost necessary.
But they were so close. Like, against RDA, like you say, he could have turned it on a little bit and got him finished. There was a point where he nearly knocked Gunnar out.
Yeah, people like risk takers. That's what's more evident in MMA than anything else. People like, especially if you're going to stack the odds against you before the fight, if you're going to talk a big game.
But was that the difference with Darren Till and Cowboy? Darren Till made a point of pressuring him early and finishing him.
And Leon didn't.
Whereas Leon did, he still looked really good against Cowboy and finished him.
Yeah.
And won. But there's no finish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think maybe Leon needs someone that's like more recklessly aggressive. Someone like a Mike Perry to get a finish.
I think you're going to get a Ponza Nibio.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, but they're both on massive wins.
The thing is, Leon doesn't want to be waiting around. He wants to be back in title shot contention, but it's just the UFC are going to struggle to market him to people because he's not getting these finishes.
No.
Like, you need highlight reel finishes, especially when you're competing for title shots with people like Masvidal.
Yeah.
And like Covington's not, I don't think he's got a particularly interesting style. It's effective.
But you just want to see him
get
finished.
It's the chat around it. That's why you want to see him fight. So I don't know. He's put himself in an awkward position by not getting a finish, I think.
Yeah. I think the Masvidal ship has madly sailed. Mm. There was a very brief moment backstage where he had an argument, but it wasn't a big enough of a scuffle. It was more like, oi, smack.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As opposed to like John Jones and DC on the presser, where they're like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, and they're going for it. But then the UFC did the right thing by not making the fight anyway.
Completely. Yeah. The thing is, Masvidal's overly justified as many title shots as he wants, whereas Leon's just proved himself to get another fight, as opposed to justified a title shot.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go on.
Congratulations, Leon. One thing I will say is thank you for going for the takedown in the first round, because I realised after we'd recorded the War Room that I finished by saying, Leon might take RDA down. And I thought to myself, that's the last thing that's going to be in people's minds when they watch that. And the last thing they're going to think is, dickhead.
Mate.
No, he ain't. Of course he's not.
If they think dickhead, do they normally write it?
Well, yeah.
The fuck do you know, RDA?
Straight onto Twitter. But fortunately, he came out in the first round and took him down. So thanks to Leon for not making me look a fool there.
There you go.
But congratulations on the win. It was a very impressive performance.
Way impressive, dude.
And I do hope he gets to where he wants to be and gets the fights he wants. One other thing I will say just before we move on from this card, if you've got a 15-minute conditioning session that you want to burn 15 minutes on, go back to the second fight of the night, Mario Bautista against Jinsu Son. It was a unanimous decision, but it was a really fun fight to watch. Definitely worth checking that one out. All right, 240.
Okay. So have you already done Inside the Octagon for
this? We've done, yeah, Inside the Octagon for Holloway Edgar is up.
Nice.
Up ready. So.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Main?
If you like. What else stands out to you on the card?
Let me have a little.
Gillian Robertson's on this one against Sarah Frota.
Okay.
That'd be a good fight. That's the last fight on the early prelims.
Oh, Eric Kosh is on here.
Yeah, he's always fun to watch.
Always.
Yeah, it's an interesting card. Pantoja against Figueiredo is going to be a good one as well. But then after that, you're looking on main card. There's some things that stand out to me. Armin Sarukian, he's got his second fight in the UFC on this card. He made his debut in Moscow.
Were you there?
Yeah, against Makhachev.
Yeah.
And it's... It was just a really, really horrible first fight to have in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, like a real uphill battle. But his wrestling was on point.
Yeah.
He gave him everything he could handle. And he's coming in against Albin Mercier, who's obviously had a few fights in the UFC now. He's got, 15 fights? And he's got, sort of...
Mercier's that guy who just always seems to have fucking
durable,
cardio for days.
Good shape, big for the weight class, strong. Is he tri-star as well?
I think so.
Yeah, he is tri-star.
He's on a two-fight skid at the minute, though.
Yeah. But that'll be a wrestling extravaganza, that will.
Yeah.
So, Albin Mercier is a judo black belt and a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt. So, matching up with Armin Sarukian's wrestling is going to be very entertaining to watch. And I'd imagine that's going to be a high pace because they're both in great condition.
Yeah, man. What about Nico Price? I like watching Nico Price.
Yeah.
Especially his last fight. He looked like he was about to get murdered.
Well, the thing with Jeff Neal, I feel like his striking's a bit tighter.
Yeah.
A bit more on point, you know. I mean, that fight against Frank Camacho was... And Frank's one of my favourites, as you know. But yeah. I feel like his striking might be a bit more accurate. And Nico, I like watching him as well. But the reason I like watching him is because he is a little bit like...
Is that Mr. Tickle? Is that Mr. Tickle swinging snooker balls?
Yeah, how long is his arm? 76 inches. 6 foot, 76 inches.
Longer than me.
Yeah, he's got quite a decent reach. Brown belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well, so... We might see a submission out of him, although have we seen one in the UFC?
I don't think so.
Or Rear Naked Choke.
It's not the same, is it?
Yeah.
You can't always count that.
Go on then, talk about the main event, and then we'll wrap up. What do you reckon?
So
how are you leaning?
What are you saying about co-main with Cyborg? Is that just is that lambs to the slaughter?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, Felicia Spencer, we've only seen, one fight in the UFC against Megan Anderson, but it was a first-round finish. It was another Rear Naked Choke, so we know she's got a... She's got a strong game in one particular area, which is taking the back and choking people out. She's not small for the weight class either. I mean, she's not going to be as strong and as lean as Cyborg, which means that probably in the clinch, I would imagine Cyborg's going to be able to...
Shake her off.
Yeah, or at least control her. But then, because Felicia Spencer's not carrying all that muscle mass around, then that would make her more efficient in those clinches.
Well, she was against Megan.
Yeah, and then be able to just keep that hustle going.
Okay.
Maybe get it to the floor. Maybe be able to take Cyborg's back in a scramble. I mean, you know, she's 7-1, which is like 4 submissions on a record, more than 50% of finishes, all Rear Naked Chokes as well.
But what about, you know, there was a time when
Cyborg... 3 Rear Naked Chokes and 1 TKO with elbows in her first fight.
Okay.
And she fought an Invicta. She's not been fighting on like random shows against random fighters. No. Invicta match people well.
The problem is, because I don't know her well enough, it almost reminds me of when Cyborg was fighting on Invicta and all the other cards, and they were just feeding her.
Yeah.
There was no one available. So they're like, you're fighting Cyborg? And they're like, fucking hell, okay.
But that's the thing with female MMA at the moment, because it's still developing. They haven't got the numbers in the weight classes. So they do sometimes kind of make matches with who's available. And when it comes to Cyborg, it's kind of who wants to fight her.
Yeah.
But Felicia Spencer's like, she's up for it. She's like ready to take on Cyborg. And she's not going to be undersized as well after dealing with Megan Anderson, because she's a big, strong athlete as well.
I am interested to see what Cyborg does next if she wins this, because it's almost like the DC and Stipe thing. Because yeah. Cyborg was unbeaten for such a long time and such a legend and did so much cool shit. To get finished the way she did was almost a surprise to her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's the same as Stipe. I mean, I know Stipe stayed out and fucking waited forever. But
that's why this is a risk and that Stipe didn't take.
Exactly, exactly. But it makes it more interesting to see how she's going to change to go back now to Amanda, who just seems to have uploaded the fucking matrix for winning fights.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, I mean, we could see an upset. We could absolutely see an upset here. I'd be interested to see what the odds are on this. This is a definite underdog's pick, I would think, because most people aren't going to be putting any money on Felicia Spencer. And she's, you know, even like that's what we saw with Ronda. And I think women's MMA is at that point where it's still developing and you can exploit weaknesses in people's games far more than you can in modern male MMA. And that's what I think that's where the difference are, because the development levels are slightly different. And women's MMA is catching up.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because because it's mixed in amongst men's MMA.
Yeah.
And because, like, on the mat at the big gyms, fighters are fighters. Doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. So, like, the level's, increasing quickly. But if you look back at Ronda, the reason she was so good is because she was very good at one particular thing. And she was so good and so forceful at it that she was able to exploit people's weaknesses.
Mm. Well, it was that ultimate confidence, wasn't it? Because you saw it the minute that she lost and she was like, I'm just going to wait 5 years and then come back and just look like a deer in headlights.
Then if you think, if you're Felicia Spencer, you've just seen Cyborg lose. You think you can swarm her and jump on her back.
All day.
She's at the best point for an upset right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, odds are that Cyborg should beat her and then get a rematch with Nunes.
Yeah, I just have more. I think I'm more invested in that just because I want to see what happens next.
Who doesn't love an underdog win?
That's it. And I do love an underdog win, but something Tim said to you yesterday, and he was asking you about when a champion had last lost and then won it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately went to GSP against Sarah,
mm-hmm.
which obviously you did. But then I was trying to think of other times. There isn't really, apart from BJ Penn.
Mm. Yeah, I can't think of it.
No one else has really done it. Like, Chuck didn't do it against Randy because it was almost Chuck didn't go into the first fight against Randy as a champion, did he?
Mm-hmm. No, the belt was vacant.
Belt was vacant, so Randy
and
won.
Chuck was supposed to win it, and Randy did.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
not supposed to, but like the whole walkout, like Randy just kind of came in a side door,
meandered,
and wandered over,
and Chuck had Chuck this show.
Do you remember it was Mask?
Yeah,
the Iceman.
Yeah, awesome, but.
It was so WWE though.
It was, it was perfect. Man. I loved it. But the thing is, it was a good question because I can't remember a time when it's happened. So for Cyborg to come back
and win the belt back,
man, it makes it so interesting. Yeah. Same as Stipe. I can't wait to see the Stipe fight because I think he's just going to be a little bit more standoffish.
Mm.
But I mean, Stipe, he changed so many people's opinion of him. Especially, I mean, when you saw Stefan finish him, he was like, yeah, he's just another one of them. I know he's not European, but his name makes it look like he's just a European fighter and that's it.
Mm.
He's just there to make the numbers. But he did some insane things.
I think he's going to look very different against DC.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to fight at a much longer range, really make the most of his lead hand and just stay on his toes and force DC to move to him. To kind of learn from what John Jones did to him.
Yeah, well, look,
I mean, he won't be able to do
it
as efficiently, but if DC gets inside, the deficit that Miocic has in the movement and the agility that John Jones has, he'll have an advantage in the strength.
Yes.
And the thing is, with that punch that caught him, maybe he was just taking for granted that he was safe there.
Yeah.
And it just caught him by surprise. Yeah. That's not a mistake that you're going to make twice.
No. Well, he completely countered that with Ngannou because he stayed well out of his way because Ngannou was known for having massive power.
Mm-hmm.
DC's not really known for having massive power.
Especially not a light heavyweight. So, you know, him moving up. Come on then, let's okay, quick Max. Chat about that main event. So if they fought 10 times, how
Max
many times does Frankie Edgar win?
Three.
Yeah, that's about my pick as well.
Only the thing is, I want Frankie to win because we had a chat with Mark Henry, who is probably the nicest guy in the world. Like, the absolute nicest guy I've ever spoken to. So, I kind of don't want to bet against him.
No, I'm always behind Mark Henry's fighters. But at the same time, I love Max as well.
But I love Max as well,
This is one of those fights, and because this match has been made a bunch of times, I think I've broken it down twice already.
Yeah.
So this third one is much more. It's much more in depth because I know both fighters better.
Yeah. But the problem is, it's 10 years after Frankie was Frankie.
Yeah, but then just like Cyborg's coming off her first loss, Max Holloway's been up to lightweight and picked up a loss and he's coming back down. And you, like, there are different things you've got to take into that.
Yeah.
Like, the different factors from that. Like, the going up to lightweight and doing a weight
changing
class there, allowing your body to grow. Then cutting back down to featherweight. The psychology of being outworked by someone when that's his game.
Frankie's all about.
And now he's fighting Frankie Edgar, who's got, like, the you know, longest fight time in the UFC, like, history or whatever it is. Well, like, stat leader for someone that we know's got a good output, we know can come back from a bad first round.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think the problem is that the Brian Ortega finish will kind of change people's perspectives on that. But the reality is that was an elbow, and getting caught with a clean elbow like that is very different to getting caught with a gloved fist.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at the way that Gray Maynard was punching holes in people when he was back in the day, and he, like. Even if you just go back, if you went back to that, the first Frankie Edgar Gray Maynard fight, and you skip to the end of the first round and watch Frankie walk back to his corner, you're like, this
guy's dead.
There's no way that fight continues. Mm. There's no way he's got anything else in the second round.
But then what he did was went on to fucking
beat him twice.
Two, three, four, five rounds. Draw with him, beat him. The two Ben Henderson fights, you could call either way really easy. One of them's got a massive up kick, which I don't think changed it as much as they said it did. And I'm a massive Ben Henderson fan.
Mm.
But I don't think he beat Frankie in either of them.
No.
The Jose, he definitely lost. To beat Charles Oliveira, BJ Penn, it was still a good BJ Penn. Cub Swanson, Faber, Mendez, obviously Jose again, another decision.
Yeah.
Decision Jeremy Stephens to finish Yair Rodriguez.
That was a big upset. That was a lot of people were, and I'll be honest, when that fight was first matched, I thought to myself, "Oh no, like that's not a good fight for Frankie." And the reasons that I felt like that was a bad fight kind of stand in this one going into Max Holloway, because Rodriguez doesn't move in orthodox ways. He's slightly more traditional in his martial arts and the way that he moves, but in his movement patterns when he's competing, they're very different to what Frankie does. Frankie's much more of a traditional boxing style that he's added kicks into, and it's a very old school, fundamentally sound style that works in the majority of fights. But then Yair's got an unpredictability. Max Holloway's got an unpredictability that I would say is on a different level of fight IQ entirely.
Yeah.
So with that unpredictability of movement and that understanding of what he's doing, that's where I think Frankie is going to need to close distance and get the takedown. Get that top position, smash him into the fence like he did against Yair Rodriguez, and use those top elbows, those top game elbows, like I talk about in Inside the Octagon.
Yeah.
Like for Max, he's just got to be himself at featherweight.
Do you think Max took a lot from the two Jose fights though? Because Jose's the same size and probably a faster, better version of Frankie.
That's exactly it. You're right. Jose is fundamentally around the same ability of Frankie, I would say. Maybe a bit more of a Thai boxer than a boxer.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more back foot heavy than front foot heavy like Frankie can be.
But he had more finish, more dangerous,
faster
striking,
more lethal combinations, I would say. Whereas Frankie's much more beat you up over the distance.
Yeah.
There was a power to Aldo, which is why he gassed and Frankie didn't as well, because Frankie doesn't try and blast you with his shots. I don't know. I think it's going to be a long night for Frankie to get inside. Even if he wins, it's going to be a long night to get inside and not get caught.
I do hope it's a longer fight though, because we've had, don't get me wrong, I love quick fights, but you know, Masvidal, I was gutted because I just wanted to see there's just a little bit more. Like, as much as it was impressive and insane and fucking amazing, I wanted to see him, like, I don't know. I just saw there was going to be a lot of taunting and like, I think he's going to avoid the takedown and just fucking light him up a little bit. Same as like the John Jones one. It was a weird experience that was, because it was a long fight, but then it was after like three super quick knockouts. So we're all absolutely hyped about that. But then even like the Faber the other day, everything's just finished dead quick. Like the Aspen lad, dead quick.
Yeah. I can't see this one being a fast finish, really. I can't. I think both of them have got enough respect for each other to feel it out in the first round. And
do you reckon Frankie can knock him out?
No.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. So not unless Max has had a bad weight cut or he's left his weight cut too late and he's just weakened himself.
But he has got history of that concussion that Bisping has shot out there, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that, yeah.
It's going to be.
I don't know. I don't think you can. I think you can take him down and stack him against the fence and damage him like he did Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But getting the finish, maybe a sub, maybe take his back.
Ooh, Frankie on the back, like a little backpack. Size of fucking. Yeah. Size, talking about backpacks, I've just. I've got
to when was
the
last time
out?
We got a submission win? Rene Kachok against Matt Veach, 2009. Yeah, oh, nice. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much
maybe
you
not.
How much do you think a kid's school backpack is?
Cheaper than Frankie Edgar.
Nope. £45.
Is that right?
£45. I'm making them one. From, yeah. They're having four episodes. Of course. Fucking hell, £45 a bag.
That's ridiculous.
I never had that at school.
No.
Did you?
No.
I had a briefcase for the first year.
Of course you did. Wanker. And
yeah, until I got beat up enough to know.
With the briefcase?
Yeah, fucking, yeah, for real. It's a brown tan leather briefcase.
Oh, yeah. With your face print in the side of
it. Yeah, yeah. With my blazer. Like, literally, I just looked like a floating fucking bag. Floating bag and blazer. Twat. Yeah, so I thought I'd let you know. Yeah. I was looking for the kids today. So Frankie Edgar backpack.
Yeah.
He'd make some coin off of that.
There we go. We'll add backpacks to the site if Frankie Edgar wins by Rene Kachok. How about that?
And we'll call it a Frankie.
Frankie. The Frankie pack.
The Frankie pack. That sounds really bad.
Oh. Anyway, all good? Wad's calling. We need to speak to Wad.
Wad's
He's
calling
both of us now. It's desperate. All right, we'll wrap it there then. Yeah, that's nice. Good. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.